Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside them they have always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as a part of their work. My co-host and the producer of Right Here, Right Now is Kevin Finn. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Dr. Tim. I'm glad to be back in the producer's chair this week.
I am so glad to have you back in the producer's chair. That says nothing bad about Taylor, but I know when I look at you, you're going to say something. At least I hope you will.
Hey, I definitely am.
You host some in-house shows, don't you?
I do indeed.
How many?
I was doing two, but now I'm only doing one. I'm doing Audio Dust Jacket. We interview different authors and about their books.
That sounds familiar. That used to be the old format of Right Here, Right Now. Is it going well for you?
It's going well. I'm becoming better and better at just hosting a show. It takes some talent. You make it look so easy, but...
I didn't pay you, but I will pay you. Thank you for that. Well, you know the saying, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. Entrepreneurs Diane Bogino and Tom Sanders, from my perspective, have each built that better mousetrap in their respective fields. Diane's business, Performance Strategies Incorporated, provides assessments, seminars, coaching, consulting, and training to help companies become even better at what they do best. And Tim Sanders is part of the team that is Netminds, a group publishing company. You know, we can find a multitude of publishing companies, each of which declares they do the best job helping authors. And I believe that Netminds offers a totally different approach that is just utterly fascinating. If you are a regular listener, you know that we begin with ladies first, unless we have a guest phoning in, and Tim Sanders is doing that just that from California, and he assures me that the sun hasn't even begun to peak above the horizon yet. So we're glad that he's willing to join us. Netminds could be described as a brokerage for writers. Authors come looking for a coach and or a ghostwriter, a layout design person, marketing person, editors, writers come looking for a potential client, as do design specialists. And Netminds uses proprietary processes to assemble the best team. So in our show this morning, we're going to learn what makes these companies different. What makes them the better mousetrap? How did each create its concept? So welcome and good morning, Tim.
Good morning, fellow Tim.
I like that. We hit it off from the get-go, didn't we?
We did. I don't know if I told you this, but when I was little, I was raised to believe that Tim stands for the idea man. So there you go.
There we go. So tell us about Netminds. What makes Netminds a better mousetrap?
Well, Netminds allows the system to be a better mousetrap. I'll tee this up. Netminds is, as you mentioned, a group publishing platform. What we mean by this is, much like Hollywood studios have made movies by creating joint ventures where people have a stake in the outcome down to the grip and the best boy, Netminds creates startups out of books. And we enable an author to build a very engaged team with a piece of the upside on a budget she can afford using our platform. Because today, Tim, there's really only two options to publish a book. There's traditional publishing, where your book is acquired through, honestly, a very tyrannical and inefficient process.
Oh, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
There you go. Well, when I say tyrannical, I don't mean that at a human level. I mean it more at a system level. Traditional publishers select a very small number of books that are shrinking each and every day.
Yeah.
And the system is so inefficient because of the way they go to retail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about making things, putting them on the shelves, and then burning a third of them that don't sell. It's a very inefficient system, and the author pays the price. Today, those few authors that are selected are given incredibly small amounts of resources. They give up about 80% of the royalties of the book. The alternative is self-publishing. This is where the author goes out into the wild, wild west and does it on her own.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Yelp for this. There's no eBay system of PayPal. There's really no guarantee to the author that they're going to get the services they look for. In fact, Tim, if you go out and try to find a freelancer and you ask for someone who's worked on The Tipping Point, you'll get 12 responses, all of which Malcolm Gladwell would firmly deny. So we're creating something in between the two. where you're neither giving your book away or doing it by yourself. We call it group publishing. At NetMinds, what you would do is create a project for your book that would indicate the genre, the promise of the book, sample of your writing, size of your platform, etc., as well as some of your social connections. And our network of freelancers, currently around 500, but it's going to grow very fast, they, much like you know this, they respond. And they say, I'm interested in this project for these reasons. And then we put that freelancer, be it an editor, a designer, a PR agent, etc., together with that author, and they work out a deal. And I think what makes us special is that instead of taking 80% of the profits and giving a microscopic advance in support, we give an author 80%, and we enable them to distribute pieces of that 80% at their discretion to various team members in addition to or in lieu of payment. What I mean by that is we enable a very hybrid arrangement, getting back to this Hollywood studio model, where an author who's working on a budget can compensate for whatever is deviating from the standard freelancer fee by saying, I'll also give you 5% of the royalties. And I don't mean the profits, I mean the royalties. That means that from the sale of the very first book, everyone earns money. Because, again, there's no upfront, there's no advance, there's no money to be recouped in the system, which I'll finish this bit by saying that's the beauty of digital. With ebooks and with print on demand, which is available everywhere you buy books online, there is no waste, and you can produce and publish with much haste and shorten that process from several years to probably 9 months.
Wow. We like that. Now, I know when you and I were exchanging emails, one question I put to you is that it's common knowledge that 80% and some say 90% of every book that's ever published sells less than 300 copies. So how do you argue against that? How do you get people convinced that, well, yeah, I can make some money on this?
Well, that's an average. I mean, Ancestry books sell 60 copies apiece. Casual fiction or fan fiction sells or distributes about 75. Diet books average 3,000 if they're published traditionally. They average about 750 if they're published individually. Business books do a little better, especially if that person is a speaker. So honestly, the numbers are all over the place. And one of the technologies we are developing is what we call sales estimator that can squarely put an author into a sales genre. Think of it as tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4. So while the average book only sells 300 copies, our goal is to attract authors and identify them in the right category. Now, I'll get back to this. Let's take a book that has a small sales potential just because maybe it's a first-time author who's just developing his platform, and it's really hard for anyone to know what they're going to sell. In that case, being a meritocracy, that author's probably going to have a bigger budget to attract high-quality talent, or that author on our system will attract first-time talent. Because one of the things we've noticed is that a pretty good percentage of the people that sign up to do freelance work on NetMinds, they come from other industries. So maybe they've been a magazine editor. Maybe they designed at an ad agency for advertising units, but they've always wanted to do a cover. Maybe they worked in corporate communications, but they've always wanted to run a PR campaign. They have the native skills, but they don't have the portfolio. They can work on a book that doesn't have the guaranteed sales potential, and this is a really good environment to strike a deal because the author needs the help, the freelancer needs the recognition, and at NetMinds, on the first page of every book, all is revealed. We don't believe in ghostwriters. We believe in writing partners, and that person's name will always be revealed. Same for covers, same for all levels of editing and design. So I think in that case, small potential, new. High potential, very experienced. The system will work it out.
Well, what's your background? Excuse me, are you a writer? Are you a marketer? Are you a little bit of everything?
So I traditionally have been a marketer. I worked for Mark Cuban at Broadcast.com back in the 90s at the birth of this whole internet era. And after he sold the company to Yahoo, I went to Yahoo and became the company's chief solutions officer by 2002, really working on big product launches, not just for us, but for movie studios and for brands like Sony and consumer groups like Pepsi, etc. Along the way, I developed some relationships, one of which was a literary agent who got me a book deal with Random House Crown. My first book was Love is the Killer App. It came out in 2002. It was a New York Times bestseller, but the asterisk here is it took me 11 months of painstaking 4-in-the-morning radio interviews to get that book on the list. So it didn't happen like you see it a lot these days. We can talk about this later, where the author buys, 20,000 copies of his own book, and he's on the list for a week. We took 11 months to get that book on the list. It was there 2 months. I learned a lot from the experience. Since then, I published 3 more books and helped dozens of other authors launch theirs. And, Tim, that's where it occurred to me that the existing publishing system doesn't work for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work for high-platform authors because they can the advances are so small. They can do much better taking a higher percentage of the book and controlling their own destiny. And for first-time authors, the system doesn't work because self-publishing assumes you have the wherewithal and the self-starterness to actually finish the entire draft manuscript and pick your cover, which I think, according to the numbers I've read, probably locks about 99.5% of people out of the market.
Tim, speaking of first-time writers, do you find that their expectations are unrealistic when they're writing their first book?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're unrealistic in a bunch of ways. But you know, they're also sometimes overly small. In other words, I've seen high-potential, high-platform authors not understand the difference that their book can make, not just in terms of where it ranks on Amazon, but what it means to their speaking career or their consulting career. And on the flip side, I've seen authors with, 200 followers on Twitter think they're going to go out and sell 100,000 copies of their book. And it's really important for us at NetMinds to help manage those expectations. So we aggregate sales data so we can show you, okay, a book in this category that's a bestseller with arm's-length retail distribution sold this many copies a week last year, and then you begin to use, discounted sales analysis to figure out what that means to you. So you can pretty much kind of proxy your platform with that book's platform, your distribution with that book's platform, and begin to whittle that number down to something you can live with. What we like to do is to get an author to establish a plausible sales goal, and in many cases, we're willing to even give them a higher royalty if they exceed that goal. So I mentioned before, we give the author 80%. We're working on a couple of pilot programs that if they hit their numbers, the number goes up for them to 90%, which, by the way, benefits their entire team. So it gives them a reason to sell through. And I can't imagine with all of our NetMinds Select titles, we're really going for anything less than 5K on a release. And that's really for some of the smaller self-help ones. But at the same time, we're not coming out of the gates with some unrealistic number. I don't have a single project where we've tried to set a first six-month goal higher than 50K.
That's great. That sounds like you guys are really supporting the authors, and no one else is really doing that right now.
I like that concept. Tim, did you get people who want to run a project or have a project run by you and you look at it and say, no, that doesn't fit?
Well, for NetMind Select, which is a small number of titles that we've been developing prior to our launch of the application, we've accepted about 20, and we've looked at maybe 100 more than the 20. And what we've really focused on are identifiable marketing platforms and or books that could get publicity based on the current news environment. And we really focused on those because for our early network of freelancers, many of which are experienced, they need that visibility, and we don't have the software built yet to just do that automatically. Next week at the Tools of Change conference in New York, we're going to turn on our application. It's a self-service type of application. Think of it like eBay meets LinkedIn. Now, the self-service application will accept all, regardless of where you are in your writing or even your freelance career, except that there is a review system in place, there's a portfolio system in place, and it'll be pretty transparent. And we believe that in that realm, a meritocracy will emerge, and the people will be discovered and rewarded for the quality of their work. And that means some people are going to do very well on NetMinds, and some people are going to not do very well on NetMinds. And it's going to be just like eBay, right? Not every seller does well, and not every buyer finds what she wants.
I'm getting nervous as you talk. and the simple reason is, as you know, I signed a contract this past week with NetMinds and Nigel DeVoe.
Yeah, but you signed with Select. So Nigel is one of the 20 we picked out of the 120.
Uh-huh.
The Select brand is a top-tier, you know, set of releases for us that we get behind and really promote. But, you know, understand NetLine's direct, this application next week will probably have 10,000 books in the system by next year. And what I'm saying is some authors will not be able to find any team members on our system because they won't have the, they won't be able to either demonstrate the potential or the topic won't have an emotional appeal. And some freelancers may not find any projects. So that's what I mean. I don't mean that somebody's going to come on and make a bad book that doesn't sell. I mean somebody's going to come on the system and not be able to put anything together, you know, like LinkedIn.
Sure.
That happens to a lot of people.
Sure. What is your actual title with the company? Are you the, are you continuing to be the chief solutions person with this company? Or
no, I'm the CEO. I'm one of the co-founders, and there's four of us that, that co-founded the company, and I'm the CEO.
That's pretty impressive. I like that. You probably, that also means you get all the headaches, right?
I get 100% of them. But one thing I would say for those listening on the call that have done startups, what's really different about how we've done NetMinds versus how Cuban did Broadcast.com or Jerry and David did Yahoo is you don't just have an idea, go raise a bunch of money, make a version of it, throw it out into the market, you know, and see what happens. In the new world, just like we've done, you have an idea, you create a programming team, you bootstrap it with your own money, and then you go out and test your assumptions by doing concierge-level work, hand-to-hand combat, just like we've done with NetMind Select. So as we built this application, you know, over the last 14 months, we've had tons of insight across these projects because I mentioned we have 20 projects, but three of them are pretty much done. Three of them were just acquired, and the other 14 have been going on for some time. And all of them, I've been the central point of contract. With the exception of, as you've worked with Andy for the contracting piece, our biz dev founder, I'm the guy that's back and forth between all the potential matches, and I'm documenting everything and rolling it over the fence for the developing team to understand so they can code against personalities and understand that certain types of authors do better if they have common LinkedIn connections versus other authors do better if they like the same Facebook pages and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting process that leads to a lot less waste. They call it lean startup methodology.
I'm impressed with it. I really am. Obviously, or I would not have submitted an opportunity or application to see if I could be considered. What advice would you give to all those people out there who want to write a book?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd say. It's a very good question. So I do dispense a lot, you know, of advice based on my experience. So here's a couple of things. First of all, write a book that only you can write. Don't write a book that you think should be written. It's the most classic mistake I see, especially in business and advice books. When you say, there's never been a book written about this topic, and I have a huge interest in it, and I'm going to go research it and interview a bunch of people, that book's going to have a hard time working. And the reason why is because it's going to be really hard for people to get behind it or talk about it because you're not known as an expert. You have to sit in their mind as the person who should have written this book. So that leads me to a second idea. Write what you know, not what you think will sell. So a great book, and I'm just sticking with business and advice, a great book is a story about a person's solution that came to them through either experience or, in the rarest of cases, their research, but that kind of research wasn't Google research. I mean, that kind of research, like Jim Collins, was very structured from a university standpoint. Although those books are decreasing in their publication. They're very expensive. They take too long to do. By the time the research is done, the companies are all bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea then is to be that expert, write the book only you can write, and write for the right promise. So there's several reasons, or I'm sorry, there are several promises that a book makes to the reader. In other words, these are benefits the reader gets after reading the book. And the least effective of those benefits is information dump. I'm going to educate you. Well, there's no takeaway value. That one doesn't sell that well. The second least effective reason to write a book or promise is I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some helpful advice. Those books sell by the dozen. They're not sold. They're not widely sold. They aren't a point of referral. Here are the three kinds of books that sell the most. Validation, wrong is right, and hope. So validation. Validation says you, the reader, are not alone. There are other people that are doing it just like you, have the same values you do, and we're succeeding. And here's some ways to do it better. That is a very important format. People buy those books by the hundreds. They speak to them. They have an emotional connection with them. They give those books out like a business card. My first book, Love is the Killer App, that was its promise. The reader would close the book and say, wow, I'm not the only person that believes that success comes from promoting other people's success. And people, I mean, I still save the emails to this day. So there's that emotional connection. Second most popular format is the Wrong is Right format. Dan Pink has really mastered this in the last few years, the surprising truth about blank, right? So his book, Drive, basically says everything you think about with carrot and stick financial compensation is wrong, especially with the new generation. They don't work for money. They work for meaning. And so he wrote an entire book to change our mind. And people like that one, too. And it also was widely referenced. But the number one selling book delivers the reader hope. Hope in the face of complexity or mystery. So when you take something very hard and you make it very easy to understand, like Malcolm Gladwell's done with his books, a.k.a. The Tipping Point, you unleash hope. And people really respond to that. And a lot of the self-help advice books have done a great job of that, too.
Goodness, I've got all kinds of quotes I've written down. I've been writing feverishly here.
If you go to the NetMinds blog at netminds.com/blog, we write a lot about, you know, these things.
Okay.
Advice for writers on everything from topic selection to writing style.
Well, that kind of leads me to this question. People want to be in contact with you and ask about NetMinds. Tim, how do they best do that?
Go to netminds.com or send me an email. I'm tsanders@netminds.com.
Great. Well, will you remain with us while I interview our second guest?
Sure.
Great. We do keep your mic open, so watch what you say, all right? Even though later on I'm going to open up the mics. It's been open all along. So, well, as part of Poorman's strategies, Diane Bogino also hosts GBDN-TV, which is Georgia Business Directory Network. She creates and produces video interviews of business leaders, and then she edits the video and uploads them to a YouTube URL. She shares the links with her clients who can then leverage the video URL. Well, welcome, Diane.
Thank you.
Tell us about performance strategies, and then I'm going to ask you, so you can segue into it, how did GBDN become a part of it?
All right. Well, performance strategies, as you said in the introduction, we do assessments, training, coaching. Companies have positions. And those positions are filled by people. But if they're not filled by the right people in the right position, success will not occur. So that's the important thing. And we take teams. We do team analytics with strategic solutions. We can kind of X-ray your team, if you would. It's kind of like looking at them naked. We don't say naked in the South. We say naked, N-E-K-K-E-D.
Well, you know, you said X-ray, and I wanted to make sure you said X-ray and not X-rated, and then all of a sudden you're talking about naked people, and I wasn't sure.
Whatever.
Whatever works, right? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So we can make sure that you got the right people in the right position, but also we can look at their strengths, their weaknesses, their thinking processes, which can be a little scary, their attitude index. We can even look to see what their concentration index is. For example, if a person does not have a high concentration index, we know that they're not looking at a problem long enough in order to solve it.
Wow.
So we know if they have that good concentration index that they're good problem solvers.
In a way, you do see them naked then,
yeah,
don't you?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Remind me not to let you test me. Okay. Well, how did GBDN become a part of this then?
Well, my husband, Jerry Simmons, I'll give him a plug, we started looking at business directories. And we noticed that really when people go on a business directory, they're not getting anything. Their name goes there and it just kind of lays there. So we decided we would start another business directory of our own. And we started GBDN. It later became .tv, but people can go on there. They get the interview at no charge. They get the link to the interview. They can also write articles on there if they want at no cost. They can promote their businesses on there. They go on the directory and list you know, all of their information on there. And, of course, the videos are always there. They're archived, and so people can look up your name or a topic, and your name will appear. So they get the link, and then they can use the link however they wish to use that link.
And that's your better mousetrap, isn't
right.
it?
Right, yes.
So if everything's free, and maybe this is the trade secret that you don't want to expose, why do you do it? How do you benefit?
Well, right off of that, there's a button on the front page where my coaching. So we use it to drive traffic to the coaching and then hopefully back to performance strategies for companies that have teams, because people start small businesses, but we know that they can grow.
Mm-hmm. I like that. What was that your intent to begin with? How did you come up with that? You mentioned earlier that you look at business directories and they're kind of blah, and
right.
they are.
Yeah.
They are. What was your husband's background or that he led you guys to this, or was it just sitting down having coffee?
He married me.
Wise man.
Amen.
My husband really is like a genius, and he just noticed it, and he builds websites, so he's very technical, but he also wants something back when he invests something. He and I are both high utilitarians, which goes back to the assessments. We can tell you what motivates you,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the things. We want something back when we invest in something, whether it's emotion, money, time, talent, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he just noticed that they weren't getting anything from these business directories.
I like that.
And then I, of course, came up with the videos.
Sure you did. Sure you did. And it looks like we're overlooking the skyline of Atlanta.
Yeah, right.
Which is impressive.
Right. We're 40 stories up in my basement.
That's what we are. I've been there. I like that. Kevin moved into the mic. Go for it.
I'm just curious, how do these videos get made? Do the people make the videos themselves and post them on the website, or is there a way that you guys help them with that?
Oh, they come to my studio.
Okay, all right. They're very professional.
Right, they come to my studio. We have two cameras.
A green screen?
We do. We don't use that. Okay. We have a backdrop. But we have two professional mics, two professional cameras, low grade, but they are professional cameras. Then, you know, my husband sets up the sound and makes sure that's okay. And then I interview them, and I edit the videos and post them on YouTube and send the guests the link.
And it's all free?
It's all free.
Wow. Well, you can't beat that. People are going to be knocking down your door after listening to this. I know I would.
Kind of like BRX, people that show up here
right.
are on for
exactly.
free.
I'm not getting a check. Oh, no.
No. Oh, no. However, we like to point out that the value of this time on air is $1,000 that you get for free. Ooh. Now, there's a plug for people listening.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because we give them the URL, the MP3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there forever, so you get to plug your show.
Right.
And, you know, people ask how many downloads you get. Don't have a clue, because I know Diane and Tim are going to post the MP3 on their
everywhere.
Websites, and they're right. going to hear about Right Choice Services and right here, right now.
That's right.
Well, so is GBDN your better mousetrap for performance strategies? Because there are gazillions of business consultants out there that are just going to make you better. How do you respond to that one? I got them today, don't I?
Well, that's true, and consultants do have a bad name. You know, they'll steal your watch and then mm-hmm. ask you what time it is and say, I can teach you how to tell time.
There you go.
But actually, I'm getting my master's right now. I've got one more class left, thank goodness.
Congratulations.
In industrial organizational psychology. I really want to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I've gone to get certifications in all of the assessments I use, and just got certified in EQ, which is actually having a comeback mm-hmm. in the assessment world. And then in April, I'm going back to get some classes in a new product we're coming out called Growth Curve X-Ray, where we actually do kind of go in and X-ray your company. And as a company grows, it becomes more complicated, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, from the revenues or even from equity growth. It's people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control people, but you've got to know what appeals to them and what they do best and how they think to make sure that you've got them in the right position so they can help grow your company and be productive.
I'm totally blanking on the author who wrote the book a few years ago, although I did read it. But his thesis was not only do you have to get the right people on the bus, you have to get them in the right seat.
Right, exactly.
And that's what you're about.
Exactly, exactly.
What are the reactions of your clients as you work with them?
Oh, my goodness. It builds confidence, for one thing. They find their hidden talents. Oh, I didn't know I could do that. I mean, I've had people come into my office just doing a resume and cry because they did not realize that they could do the things that they could do, that they have the talents that they have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we call them hidden talents. One thing that we do, for example, I was working with a bank recently, and if you're familiar with the banking industry, should you have any money, they've gone from a service industry to a sales industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got to have people on staff that can sell their products and services. And so we were working with the bank, and we uncovered three people that could be their sales team right there, saving them millions of dollars, maybe not millions, but thousands of dollars in going out and searching for people. Even found a person that could manage this three-person team right there in the bank.
Goodness.
Yeah.
That is a time saver and money saver.
Absolutely.
I write resumes as part of what Right Choice Services does, and I've often had that experience as well. When I've come up with just the draft of what I want to show the people, their jaws drop.
Mm.
Didn't think I could do that. Didn't realize I had that impact. But that's out there in the world. We go to work, we get our paycheck, we go home, and we go back the next day. And I'm constantly asking people, so what impact do you have on the bottom line?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And they never think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably taking that into consideration as well as what. So how did you find these three people that could be top-notch salespeople? Through your tests?
Right. We gave them the assessments. And I actually work over the phone. I mean, I work with people in Iowa, Montana, Virginia, Florida. Sit there, debrief these assessments. Takes about an hour, depending on how many questions they have.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a high S, it takes longer. If they're a D, it's shorter than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But just revealing their strengths, where they shine, what they can do. We uncovered their talents. The classic sales leadership style is a high D, high S combination. So if you got that, that's your commissioned salesperson.
I'm quiet because I'm a high D, high S.
Ooh, you're trouble.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
I feel like with your business model, with you doing all these free services for different people, does that buy you a bunch of goodwill and actually really help your bottom line on your business? That makes people trust you more? Because like you said, people have a negative connotation about consultants, but you doing all this stuff for your community, people would say, wow, she does all this stuff for free. She's a great person. I really want to get her services.
Well, I really never thought of it like that. One part of me really enjoys helping other people and promoting them, even though I'm not a high social. I'm a high utilitarian, high theoretical. I want a return on my investment, but I want to know everything. I don't want to just know what time it is. I want to know how the clock works and why it works that way. But I just do have this side of me that wants to help promote other people, which was part of how that GBDN TV got started with the videos and helping people promote themselves. And people still don't understand how to use the videos, even once they have it in their hand. They won't put them on their website. It's just amazing.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
We know that one.
Yeah,
how has writing been a part of your work history?
Wow. Well, I was in HR for 20 years. I'm recovering. And I did, of course, you have to do a lot of writing in HR, reports, and then if you have a case or a hearing or something like that. Enjoyed writing in school. Numbers and I don't get along at all. But realized that I enjoyed writing. And, of course, as you know, being on Vanessa's show, wrote the book, Finding Your Bootstraps, of my life story. And I've written a resume book and one on humor. But my goal is to write a business book, which I really need because, Kevin, as you said, that would really drive
more business.
The attention of what I do. Hello. I'm the doctor. I tell you what to do, but I don't do it myself, right?
I know that one. But we won't tell us all.
No.
Okay. Well, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs and business leaders then?
Wow, that's a great question because, Tim, so many people have been successful in business doing it different different ways. Mm-hmm. Recently on the Today Show, Matt Lauer had a panel of four people on there, and they were all talking about their successes, and they wanted to know, was success and entrepreneurship in people's DNA?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it isn't. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, it doesn't mean that you can't. It just means you have to learn to use what you have, leverage that, and learn how to find what you don't have and get the help outside of yourself if you want to go into business for yourself.
I'm thinking about that.
Okay, good.
And measuring myself and don't want to look look at where I'm coming out on that. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And that's part of what you can help people
exactly.
do. As
exactly.
well, right?
Find their hidden talents and then okay. teach them how to use them through the coaching.
So people want to contact you, Diane. What's the best way to do that?
Well, my number is 404-320-7834. My website is performancestrategies.com. They can go there. Email is performstrat.com. And, of course, GBDN.TV, GBDN.TV.
And if they go there through Google, a whole bunch of shows will pop up.
Yes, yes.
Mine hasn't popped up yet, but that's
yes, it is.
It's there. It's there. Yes, you know, I know, but I've had a lot of fun looking at some of the others.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, I'm going to make sure you're still there with us, right?
Absolutely.
Good. Well, now I've got the mics open, as we say, for general conversation. So put some pressure on the two of you first. Diane, do you have questions or comments for Tim or Tim for Diane?
Tim, I love the concept that you said about eBay meets LinkedIn, and I'd like for you to elaborate on that a little bit more, if you would.
So when we say eBay, what we mean is that this is a closed-loop environment. So let's say that I, an author, wanted to do a deal with you to market my next book using your services.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, you've got to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And here I am in California. There you are in Georgia. We do this work together on, you know, even if we do a deal, which is very hard, by the way, to figure out how to do that deal. And now it's time for you to collect. And I've sold 4,000 books, and you were supposed to get your $2,000. It's like buying something on Craigslist.
Mm.
There really is no retribution, right? But on eBay, the system is closed, meaning eBay puts the book out. The thing is paid for via PayPal, and if somebody did something wrong, then they take the money back on a clawback, as they call that, and so the system's pretty safe. That's what we do. So when we do a book, we exclusively release it through our partner, Ingram. It's distributed everywhere books are sold online. Ingram collects all the money, and then their subsidiary called Metacomet not only issues all the reports to everybody on the team, but they pay everybody directly. So we get paid directly just like you do. We never escrow the money. So there's never a trust issue. So much like, and by the way, just like eBay, PayPal, we also have a review system that's 360. So you can review me as an author and what I'm like to work with, and I can review you as a service provider.
Mm.
And between the collection payment and review system, there's less risk, I guess I would say. And there's much more transparency into the system. So that's what I mean when we say we're like eBay, the closed-loop solution. Very different than Kickstarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say like LinkedIn, I just mean that people will frequently sign up for NetMinds when we launch next week via Facebook or LinkedIn, and we'll be able to understand their social connections. So as we begin to look at recommendations for you for partnerships, we're going to think about it not just in terms of, you know, she's an editor, he's an author, they like the same genre. That's a very first level. We also want to think about, do they have connections?
Mm.
And are they professional connections? Are they social connections? And so these multiple types of connections work a lot like, you know, LinkedIn, and we'll obviously recommend people that you should know, et cetera. So we want to harness that professional social graph technology, but at the same time really understand that great eBay, PayPal security, safety, and transparency that makes that market tick.
Mm.
Boy, that's a powerful makeup, isn't it?
It really is.
Now, Diane, you're also the president of NSA Georgia.
Right.
As you were listening to Tim, were you thinking of any NSA people and all of those possibilities?
Oh, sure. My goodness. As president of National Speakers Association Georgia chapter, I'm telling you, I mean, we have people with stories that need to get them on paper, and I'm certainly going to make sure they know about you, Tim.
Well, let me give you a piece of advice for speakers that you could share. It's a neat little gadget I've been using to write for 11 years now. And it comes from something that Seth Godin told me way, way back when he was still a Yahoo executive. Mm. He told me this: you'll never get talker's block, but you'll get writer's block.
I like that.
Because unless you're a novelist by trade, this whole idea of sitting in front of a laptop and pounding out a book is not only heartbreaking, it's mind-numbing.
Mm.
But you can plan to have phone calls, maybe with a friend, a coach, a partner, that pull the book out of you through your speaking voice. So Love is the Killer app was spoken to my writing partner. He and I spent some time together, two weekends, figuring out, you know, this book in me, this outline, what we were going to do chapter by chapter. And then over the course of the next 3 months, we had very regular calls, just like we're having this morning, that were recorded and then later transcribed, where we would discuss the chapters of the book. Some of them were me talking. Some of them were him pushing back and getting me to give more content. By the way, that's how Eckhart Tolle wrote The Power of Now. That's why there's so much interaction in that first book. They literally were talking. Now, when I first started in 2000 to write these books this way, transcription was really expensive. An hour of transcription could cost like $250 if it was done well, right? But it's all changed. So now there are services like foxtranscribe.com, and it uses crowdsourcing. So Fox has a network of retired individuals or freelancers, most of all were teachers. So when you send them an hour file, they disperse it to, say, six different people in 10-minute slices who overnight very carefully and conscientiously do their 10 minutes, and it reassembles into your manuscript, and the cost is only $1 a minute. So a 60-minute conversation, which will yield probably 4,000 to 6,000 words, will cost you a whopping $60 and take less than 2 days to turn around. So with that breakthrough in transcription, I think especially for speakers, it is a no-brainer.
It fits my budget.
The next time you do that custom one-of-a-kind keynote, you turn your little iPhone or Android device on, record that thing, pop it up to Fox Transcribe, and you start with good words.
Wonderful. I certainly will pass this along. Thank you.
Now I'm going to put the spotlight on you, Tim. Do you have any comments or questions for Diane?
Well, yeah, with your clients, what do you find to be their biggest barrier to success?
Low self-confidence. Yes, it's still there. They just simply do not understand how to use what they have, nor do they seem to understand what impact it can have not only on them personally, but on the business as well as their career. So that is something that many, many people struggle with. And then, of course, on the other extreme, you have people that have too much confidence. But, of course, we know that they typically are people with a low self-confidence just covering up for it. So that I find to be the most true, just trying to pull things out of people to get them
to
use what they have.
So as a coach, what do you do when someone has a noticeable variance between their self-image and their self-reality, right? Thinking about like Maxwell Maltz work, you know.
I have a big hammer. No, I'm kidding. Well, let me tell you the assessments. The reason I like the assessments is because it helps me to know people deeper quickly. So these assessments, they're really sitting there, as I use the term, naked, because they put the information in, and the information comes out, and when we go over it, their eyes are opened. And then from the coaching, they just continue on from that, doing the homework, giving them tasks to do every week to build that confidence and get them to the place where they really want to be.
Yeah, that's a good tool. That's a really good tool.
It really is.
So did both of you consider that you have a better mousetrap until I came up with this? I just got to feel good this morning somehow.
Well,
had not heard that yet, Dr. Tim. So you're proving your name.
Thank you.
I think that, you know, the way we think about it is we're offering an alternative mousetrap, and we think that the plumbing of Web 2.0 is perfect for it.
Yeah, I would agree, and that's. I just really got sucked in, and I say that in a positive way, when I started reading about NetMinds. I'm sure you know the fine print of self-publishing book and how it ranks all of the self-publishing companies. And it is a jungle out there. And Diane, you know, the whole consulting thing, and as I did ask you that question, how do you set yourselves apart? Because I run into people who say, well, you can refer people to me. I say, yeah, I know I can do that. That's about all I'll say, but we won't go beyond that. Well, the clock is on us. It always does that. Mm. We welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. And if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. All you have to do is send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Kevin, for handling the controls.
No problem. I don't know where you find these guests. They're always amazing.
Thanks. And then I thank our guest, Diane Bocino of Performance Strategies and GBDN-TV, and Tim Scanlon of NetMinds. Diane, your contact information one more time.
You can email me at diane@performstrat.com or call 404-320-7834. And, hey, I'm in Atlanta.
How about that? And, Tim, your contact information.
Visit us on the web at netminds.com, Twitter at netminds, email tsanders@netminds.com.
Is the sun up yet?
I'm sure it is, but I'm down in a studio with no internet and no windows. That's my
you're in your man cave, so to speak, right? Well, right here, right now.
Don't do manscaping.
There you go. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. And you can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week. And please tell your friends about the show. Send them an email. Invite them to listen live or to the various MP3 downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at righterightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.